Now, here was the statement released by Eskom yesterday saying due to multiple generating unit failures over the past 24 hours, Eskom regrets to inform the public that stage 2 load shedding will be implemented from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock on Tuesday. The same repeated, of course, from Tuesday night until 5 a.m. on Wednesday. This load shedding is required in order for Eskom to replenish the emergency generation reserves, which have been utilized significantly over the past weekend. And for many people, when you hear that statement, when you read that statement, when you hear it being read, you ask yourself the question, hang on, why are we still here? After all the focus on decreasing the risk the utility presents to this economy, the leadership changes, the bailouts, the summits, the war rooms, the unbundling, why are we still waking up in the dark? To help us wade through this, or shall I say to shed some light on this matter, Chris Yelland is an energy analyst and, of course, at EE Business Intelligence. Chris, always a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you for your time this morning. Can you give us an answer for that question? It's one for the ages. Why are we still here?
Yeah, Bangani, there are, of course, short-term immediate issues. There are sort of medium-term issues, and then there are longer-term structural issues. And sometimes we seem to be papering over the cracks, throwing money at the problems, but actually not dealing with the underlying issues. But in the immediate term, you know, we've heard that unit at Medupi is down. There's nothing new about these sort of things, breakdowns, etc. But at the same time, one of the units at Coburg is down for an extended shutdown. It's being called maintenance, but it's not maintenance. It's life extension. And this project is running into problems. And now we hear that, in fact, they're not going to be able to replace the steam generators, which is a major purpose of this life extension shutdown.
Chris, sorry.
That's going to take
hold on, Chris.
Months.
I just lost you there for a second because that is an important thing I want us to get into.
Yes.
You're saying that the delay then in the replacement of those steam generators, that's not going well?
No, that's quite right. It's not going well. They did a shutdown to commence with the replacement of steam generators. They've now decided they're not going to replace those steam generators during this shutdown, but they're still having the shutdown to do other work that was going to be done in parallel. And they're going to do the steam generation replacement next year. So we're going to have a six-month shutdown on unit number two. A five-month shutdown on unit number two now. It's in progress. And we're going to have another five-month shutdown on unit two next year to replace the steam generator. This simply adds to serious risks to security of supply in South Africa, and has in fact part of the cause of the load shedding that we're experiencing right now.
Just explain to me, because as I understand it, Coburg was meant to get its shutdown date, what that was scheduled for, 2024. Now you can't extend that if you don't do those steam generator replacements that you say can't be done.
Yeah, so the steam generator replacements have to be done before the license for Coburg expires, which is to happen in mid-2024. If this steam generator replacements do not take place, as well as a number of other, life extension works, if those are not done by 2024, the operating license will come to an end, and the regulator will not issue a new operating license until that kind of work has been done. But I must tell you that I'm amazed at both Eskom and the National Nuclear Regulator, how they could have given Eskom the green light to proceed with the steam generator replacement without the containment buildings that are there to contain the radiation from the old steam generators, how they allowed this project to proceed with this containment building not being complete is completely beyond me. It's a serious lapse of both Eskom and the National Nuclear Regulator, and has resulted in this life extension being extended. It's going to take another 5 months because they have stopped work on the steam generator replacement. It's going to have to be done next year. And all of this is a sign of very, very poor planning and, to be frank, very poor regulation.
Chris, funny you should mention that. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line because I'm bringing into the conversation now Peter Becker, who, as you know, of course, was a Coburg, or is the spokesperson for Coburg Alert Alliance, a civil society organization. And he was meant to be the voice of civil society at the National Nuclear Regulator, but was summarily removed by the Energy Minister, Gwede Mandashe. Peter, you've just heard Chris. Firstly, thank you for your time this morning. You've just heard Chris raising concerns about what's unfolding at Coburg. If you join the dots, one might suspect that's part of the reason you were moved out of the way.
Hi there, good to be with you, and hello, Chris. Just one clarification. The way Chris put it there, it might have been possible to misunderstand that it will be automatic that they get the life extension if they do the steam generator work and the other refurbishing work. And just to point out, that's not the case. And they still need to get approval from the national nuclear regulator, never mind what they do. So even if they do the work, it's still possible they might be refused permission to extend the lifetime. In terms of what happened there, I wish I could tell you more, but two things stopped me. One is I was suspended from the board on the same day that the steam generator replacement approval was given and that work began. So I don't know myself. And even if I did know, there's confidentiality agreement from board members, so I wouldn't be able to tell you directly.
But of course, I mean, it is a concern, as Chris points out, we do need the safe and reliable operation of our nuclear units.
Absolutely. And, it's long been a concern about whether you can take a plant that's built in the 1970s and bring it up to modern safety standards. If you think about a car built in the 70s, and these days you have to have traction control computers and side airbags and all sorts of things if you're going to bring it up to modern standards. So we don't actually know, because it hasn't been made public, what the extent of the work being done at Coburg is. But it's quite a big question mark in my mind if it's possible to make it as safe as a modern plant could be.
To be fair, though, to the department, Gwede Mandashe would say, well, hang on, you have an anti-nuclear stance to begin with, and perhaps you were never the right person to be on the board of the National Nuclear Regulator. There would have been a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I was looking through some notes the other day. It's 2008. I started my sort of anti-nuclear approach to things. And so that was known for at least a decade before I was appointed. So it wasn't a problem when I was appointed, but for some reason it became a problem after that. And just to clarify something there, the nuclear regulator doesn't decide if nuclear is a good idea or a bad idea for the country. It has a very clear mandate, and that's to discuss nuclear safety. So although I believe, together with the CSIR and experts like Chris and others, that new nuclear has no place in South Africa, it's expensive and it's the wrong choice to make, that is not something that's discussed at the regulator. What we do discuss there is, if anything nuclear is built, it must be to the highest safety standards.
So let's just ask the question now. You've used the example of a car that would have been manufactured in the 70s being expected to extend its lifespan. Is it a good idea to do that with the Coburg nuclear power station? And given the current problems, does it indicate to you that we can?
Yeah, I mean, I think the decision was made initially by the board back in 2010 to extend the life of the plant. Funnily enough, they said the budget would be 20 billion rand in 2010 rand. And at the moment, they're saying it's still going to be 20 billion rand. So firstly, that's quite a puzzle. And it comes back to the point of, what exactly are they doing? What features are they adding to this plant? And obviously, they've dropped a whole lot of features that they were going to do in 2010 that they're no longer going to do. So that is an element of concern. And the cost of this is estimated to be 20 billion, but that's an ESCOM estimate, of course. And if we look at large projects, we know that that's quite likely to double or even triple. So then the question is, what is the best way to spend 20 to 60 billion rand. Is it really an idea to take a technology that the whole world is slowly phasing out, or would it be better to spend that money on the future that we all agree on, which is dominated by renewable energy?
And of course, you're no longer there to ask those questions directly. Does that suggest then, with your departure, the voice of civil society has been silenced?
Yes, and that is a concern. And it's quite clear in the law, the NNR Act of 1999, that there must be somebody representing the interests of communities. Unfortunately, there's a bit of a loophole in a way, so the board can keep operating if there is no such person appointed. And that's what's happening at the moment. And I think it's a concern for myself and also for many other civil society organizations and communities is that, as you say, their voice is not present when the board is making decisions, such as the decision Chris just pointed out about allowing the steam generator project to go ahead, or at least try to go ahead.
Peter Becker, I appreciate your time. Coburg Alert Alliance spokesperson and, of course, formerly with the National Nuclear Regulator. Chris, you heard what Peter had to say. Are you even more worried?
Yeah, I am concerned. You have to look at the timing of this. Peter Becker was removed very shortly before an important decision was made giving Eskom the green light to proceed with the steam generator replacement project on unit number 2. And we now know that the board, the NNR board, knew very well that the containment building to contain radiation from the old steam generators at unit number 2 was not ready. Yet they gave Eskom the green light to proceed, and this is now currently become a big problem and has caused the project to have to stop midstream. Now, I can tell you this for sure, that Peter Becker would never have agreed to give Eskom the green light had he been a board member attending that board meeting. He was denied access to minutes, denied access to information, denied access to the agenda, and locked out of that meeting. And that meeting took this decision. And I believe it has serious safety implications because this building for containment, radiation containment, is not complete and has also got a serious impact on security of supply in South Africa. And because they have now abandoned this, yet they're continuing with the work necessary for the life extension, and it's going to mean another 5-month shutdown for the same unit next year to do the job that should have been happening today had the building been ready.
And the longer Coburg is out of action, the more strain on the grid, right?
Exactly. That's the whole point. That is why a security of supply is impacted. That is one of the reasons why we have stage 2 load shedding in the next few days.
Chris Yellen.
And for the next 6 months.
Gosh. Chris Yellen, appreciate your time as always, energy analyst at EE Business Intelligence.